Since a number of the of our congregation here are waiting for water to boil in the kitchen, I suppose I'm not in hot water yet. I got the thumbs up from Paul, so that's enough.
Some degree of humor there.
Well, as Paul shared in his testimony, for some time we have been praying in regard to what the Lord is doing and how the Lord will move forward among us and live among us. It added impetus to my, the Lord had laid on my heart about the priesthood of all believers. And, Brother Jay, you don't have to scratch him very hard before he's telling us about the priesthood of all believers. And so I began studying and searching out, meditating, and the Lord, I think it's very important that, as Yvonne said, the priesthood of all believers has been taught here for years and years, but not to a great extent lately. And I say not to. The Lord has his message, and he will make sure that it is coming through. And so I believe that he stirred my heart up on this. He stirred us up about this. The basis, as Paul was describing, of our fellowship is the Lord Jesus and us being, I will say, priests. And this priesthood of all believers, as it speaks of in 1 Peter, is accomplished by the Lord Jesus. But it is in the scripture from beginning to end, if you're looking for it. And it is not a, it's not a how-to, it is an is. The Lord has declared it, the Lord has made it to happen, and he has his people that he has called, that he has chosen, are being made into priests to him. And the Lord Jesus is the high priest. In Peter, it tells us, and I've shared this a few times in opening comments, but we might be thinking about this and considering as we worship and are before the Lord, as we give testimonies. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, "And coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also," this is what's happening for us, "you also as living stones," he is the choice and precious stone, "are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then continuing on down verse 9 of the same chapter, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We've certainly been stirred because of the roar of the darkness. The enemy, well, I don't want to go into all that. The enemy is there trying to shut down our priesthood, to shut down our gathering together, our fellowship. And the Lord is in charge, and the Lord is able, and I want to talk about that. And in this particular case, the priesthood of all believers, I think, is a very, very helpful description and a action, I suppose. I'm struggling for terms here because this is a spiritual thing. This is not a this is not as man would have priests. We already have that. We've seen that. We see it dysfunctioning. And we see it, the Lord using it to show us a better way. What I'm going to throw this open to you all for comment. What do we know about? What do we see in the priesthood in the Scripture? What would the priest do? What? Thinking now about the priesthood of Aaron, what did the priest do? What was the priest's responsibility? They went before the Lord for the people. That is very important. They performed and brought the sacrifices before the Lord, and of course the high priest brought the annual sacrifice into the holy place and sprinkled the blood on the altar, on the mercy seat. What else about the high priest's, or not just the high priest, the priest's office? They tended to the things that God had required and prepared so that they could worship, that the people could worship, that the people had a vision of God and what he wanted. And they maintained that. Anything else about that priesthood? That's right. They were provided for. That's right. They were provided for. That's good.
They entered his presence.
And as Yvonne said, in that, and I'm not trying to create a debate over the law and the ministry of grace, they performed the duties that were necessary for holiness, that God provided through the sacrifice of the Lamb, through the morning and evening sacrifice every day, through the sacrifices that the people brought because of their own sin or because of worshiping the Lord. All these things the priests took care of. The priests stood in the place of God for the people. They couldn't see God. They couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. But they knew he was there, and the priests were his hands and feet. What else about the priest? Is there anything? I'll say it this way. How would you recognize a priest on the street? Special garments. They were clothed in royal, beautiful ostentatious. They were covered with gold and silk, and I don't know whether it was silk, but fine linen. And they had the stones for representing all the people. They were covered in holy garments, and they would have oil, anointing oil placed upon them. They would have blood sprinkled on them. They were standing and they were providing. They were doing what the Lord would have done. Now, a couple other things. They killed the sacrifice for sin to appease judgment. They inspected the sacrifices that the people brought. The lambs couldn't just be any lamb brought in. It had to be a spotless lamb. They checked the lamb for cleanliness. They checked for cleanliness in the people. They checked for leprosy if there was a healing. They identified it, and they would exclude anyone who had leprosy or skin diseases or various maladies, things that were not allowed in the holiness of the people, not allowed to affect the holiness of the people. That priesthood was entirely fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. It was taken over. It was the significance. I mean, if the priest went into the holy place inappropriately, he died. He would be struck down. The Lord Jesus went into the holy place with his blood, which was perfect, and he eliminated the need for all of those sacrifices. So, do we have any sacrifices? Well, I shared a testimony some time ago. There's a song that we sing, we bring the sacrifice of praise, we bring, you know, and I used to think that was stupid. You know, praise is not something. Sacrifice to me was something painful, you know, something that you did for somebody else, something that you. But no, the sacrifice is what was taken before God. It was holy, and our praise that we, when we gather together, when we sing, when we pray, when we testify of the Lord Jesus, we are bringing a holy sacrifice before the Lord as a priest. We are bringing a sacrifice to the Lord in front of the people. We encourage each other. Let's talk about encouragement. Let's talk about, let me share about Melchizedek. I think you all know, I've read it fairly recently, I think, here. Melchizedek, and we'll talk about it in Hebrews in a moment, the New Testament revelation of Melchizedek, but the story of Melchizedek, the history, is in Genesis, and Abraham has gone forth. Abraham is God's friend, God's chosen one. He brought him. He's going to receive the promised land. And so there he is in the promised land. He doesn't have it yet, but he's there. God has brought him there. God has prospered him. And there's a war on earth. The kings of the valley rebelled against the kings who were over them, and the kings that were over them came and they defeated Sodom, Gomorrah, and Zoar, and what's the other one? There's another one. Anyway, and Abraham was stirred by God, and he went forth and pursued them, because they had taken Lot, taken all the people, and he pursued them and defeated them utterly and slaughtered them, it says. In chapter 14, after all this, Abraham is returning from Damascus, north of Damascus, where he caught them and ran them down, the enemies of God. And then he's returning, and in verse 18 it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the spoils." Melchizedek, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in a moment, is priest of God Most High. And he has come to Abraham, and this is part of our priesthood. We are called, we just in being there, if we are walking with the Lord will direct us, the Lord will bring us into places and into situations. Your family, for example, Pete, you know, coming together around Heidi. The Lord has brought us, I don't know, you, some of your testimony, I'm speaking of Pete now and being there and Patsy, you were functioning as priests. You were bringing the Lord Jesus. You were bringing a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and you were identifying the move of the Holy Spirit to the people around. They were touched by that. And we don't know all that was done, but we know some of it, and clearly the Lord was using it. And it's like that with all of us. Last weekend, we were all priests. We were functioning as royal priests to the Lord and the Lord Jesus to bring the opportunity for brothers and sisters to gather together, to be upbuilt, to assemble. Every week we assemble and we come before the Lord Jesus and we lift up the name of God. He is glorified by his priests. I want to go back, something I wanted to say and didn't come back to. In 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." We are his possession. We are a royal priesthood. He has declared it. A holy nation, a people for his possession. And why? Functioning as priests? "That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's what priests do. That's why the Lord has created the priesthood, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him, God, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord moves through us. He moves in us. He moves with us. He moves us. We are being, as it says in verse 5 above, "You also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood." We are being built together. We are abiding in the Lord. As the picture of and the real, the spiritual reality of the grapevine, you know, the we are attached to the vine. We are, the Lord is producing fruit through us, and that's our priesthood. All right, let me come back to Melchizedek, because Melchizedek performed that. Melchizedek came and he refreshed Abraham. He brought him bread and wine, and he stood in the place of God for Abraham, and he encouraged him, and he strengthened him, and he prepared him for the enemy to come and to tempt him, as the king of Sodom did. In Hebrews, the scripture expands upon Melchizedek. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." The role of a priest is to bless people and to be blessed by one another. Again, I don't mean to pick on you, Pete. I don't think I'm picking on you. Your presence and Patsy's presence and Heidi's presence is a blessing upon those who see and hear. And God has brought them there to see and hear, and he has used you and used us to bless the people and to show, to glorify God. Who can do that but someone who is holy, someone who is covered in holy garments and blood? The blood of Jesus and the oil of anointing. So Melchizedek in verse 1, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, Abraham, to whom Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all, we're talking about Melchizedek, was first of all by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. And I want to skip over, I'll come back to that. Talking about the Lord Jesus in verse 14, "For it is evident that our Lord Jesus was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests." Well, we need that because we are not of the tribe of Levi. We are not. We can't have the heritage, the heredity, the DNA of the priesthood. That was what was necessary. There was no requirement for a love of God to be a priest. There was no requirement to follow and be holy. Well, there was a requirement to be holy, but it was because of the blood of the lambs. They inherited the priesthood, father to son. They inherited the Levitical role. It was, you know, Aaron, well, he was a pretty unlikely guy to be the high priest of God. He was made high priest within the clamor had almost had not died away that long over take us back to Egypt, make a god for to go before us. And Abram stood, Aaron, it's an A word, isn't it? Aaron had done that. Aaron had failed miserably. Well, we fail miserably, but we are made priests because we are chosen. For it is evident that our Lord was descended not from Judah, a tribe in reference to Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. It is clearer still that if a priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This is speaking of Jesus, by God the Father. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of the former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. We have a better hope. We do not have to perform. We do not have to make ourselves holy. We do not have to The Lord Jesus is the King of peace. The Lord Jesus is the King of righteousness. We are being made into priests by him. Therefore, we are chosen according to his choosing as a priest after the likeness of Melchizedek, according to the order of Melchizedek, to have a priesthood like Melchizedek, which includes and is absolutely different from Aaron because he is a king. In Israel, the king could not be a priest. The king could not handle the holy things. Some kings did, and they suffered for it. Jesus is king and priest. Melchizedek was the king of Salem, priest of God Most High. Where did I say it? King of righteousness and king of Salem, which is king of peace. He is king of righteousness. We are made righteous by the blood of Christ. There is no, you don't have to apologize for who you are. You may think you need to, but you don't. Because he has made us righteous. He has made us holy. And we are. We are chosen by him. We've been chosen since before the foundation of the world. In verse 18 of Hebrews 7, for on the one hand, there is a setting aside of the former commandment. We do not have to live up to the commandments. We do not have to live up to religion. We do not have to live up to what men tried, the rules and activities that men put upon us because we're supposed to be a certain way according to the knowledge of good and evil. It is according to the knowledge of good and evil. That's where it comes from. It may have a beginning. The law is a beginning place of holiness, but it cannot be lived up to. So the Lord swore with an oath, verse 21, but he with an oath through the one who has said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, thou, Jesus, art a priest forever. So much the more so Jesus became a guarantee of a better covenant, and former priests on one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently. We are part of that. We are in that. We walk in him. We are branches on his vine, on him the vine. He breathes life through us. Life flows through us and produces fruit. And that fruit is what makes us. That fruit is what we bear and what is shared as a priest with those who are looking for, seeking God, seeking to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. They see us. They see us, and functioning as priests, we bring the sacrifices. We help. The high priest is the one with the power. He is also, not only is he the king of righteousness, but he's the king of peace. Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but having grown up, and I was a little young for it, in the 60s, you know, the peace movement was not a movement. It was not a movement that could bring peace. It certainly hasn't. Who is the Prince of Peace? The Prince of Peace is Jesus. And how is he Prince of Peace? He is the Prince of Peace because there no one can stand against him. No one can stand and say, you're wrong, we're going to do it this way, or I have a bigger army than you, or my lawyer can beat up your lawyer, or my politician is craftier than your politician. All those things are things of the world. All those things sort of point to peace if you have it, if you are the judge of what peace is and you have control of it. We are priests. We are priests. We are holy. We are standing on the rock that is Christ. We are righteous because of his blood, which cleanses from all unrighteousness. He wants us to recognize and to enjoy and to be filled with the joy that he provide, that we have, that we share. We are a small gathering of priests, but we lift up before him praise, thanksgiving, love, glory. That's our priesthood. And those who don't know it, don't feel it, don't sense it, haven't been touched by it, they need to see it. They need to be touched by, you know, just like Ryan and Krista and the children. You know, they are in a dark place, but there's a light shining. Just as Noah in China has done. We are light because he shines through us. We have the oil of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit shines that light. I hope you didn't hear this what I've said as a how-to or a you've got to live up to this or live up. I sure hope you didn't hear any live up to's because we can't live up to. He does all the work. He is in, we are in union with him. Just as we heard last weekend, he is the wall about us and he is the glory within us. That wall is a temple, is a place of the priests inside that wall. Just as it was to become, just as it had, as the temple was rebuilt, the wall was rebuilt, so the Lord is rebuilding his temple and he is building with us. He's building through us. And, you know, it's wonderful. The joy that I feel when I hear the testimony of Heidi and of you know all the Kevin and Liz, that comes from the joy that I'm sharing in the joy that the Lord Jesus has in those things, and the glory that he receives in those things. And we get to see it and participate in it. And it's not intended to be hard work. Priests were dressed in linen garments. They weren't supposed to sweat. We aren't supposed to sweat. We are following him, trusting him, being filled by him, being provided for by him. He is Lord. He is High Priest. He is all in all. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for the testimonies that have been shared. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us priests according to the order of Melchizedek, and that we can walk with you daily, moment by moment, realizing that you are flowing through us and fruit is being seen and multiplied, not by our efforts, not by our cultivation, but by your hand, your life, your blood, your bread, your water, living water. We thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, we desire that your people would be open to you and changed by you. And Lord, that the river of life would fill Bridgeville, as Paul has shared. We thank you and we praise you. In your name we do pray. Amen.